live from Buffalo Creek. If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 142. We're going to finish up a message that I started last week on dealing with difficulties. Psalm chapter 142. For those that listened to my Sunday school lesson about a definitive statement on the gospel, I'm very passionate about what I believe regarding the work of salvation, and I hope I didn't sound too mean, but I got a little stirred up because I believe that salvation is only in Christ. It's not in the messenger. It's not in the preacher. It's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So if you do listen to that message, you might want to turn it down a little bit, because I got kind of loud. Psalm 142, we'll read this again. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and my voice unto the Lord did I, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And last week we covered the first few verses, and the points that we made were that if you're going to deal with difficulties in the proper way, and mind you, everybody has them. Everybody has trials and afflictions and difficulties, and I believe this passage of Scripture gives us some really good principles and guidelines for how we can deal with the troubles of life. And the first thing that I think is so essential is you have to recognize that God is in sovereign control. He said in verse 3, Thou knewest my path. God has everything under control. And even though we don't fully understand everything that He sends our way, we do have the promise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. You know, in 2 Corinthians it says, for our light affliction, really our afflictions are light, the weight of them when you compare them to what we deserve. As a sinner, I deserve an eternity in the lake of fire for my sins. So the troubles of life are not to be compared with what I deserve. That's why the writer says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Trials, afflictions, are momentary. They're transient. They're temporary. Now, they may not seem that way when we're going through them. And I understand that fully because I've been there. But the fact of the matter is, this too shall pass. And God will bring you through that valley or through those deep waters, and He'll bring you to the other side and give you the grace the next time to reflect back on how He got you through the trials of life. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, and the key is, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm reading a book right now, when the smile of God is hidden. And it's bringing out how it really focuses on three men who went through some of the worst trials you could ever concoct, ever think of among men. One was John Bunyan. He was the English preacher, and he was literally in prison for 12 years because he would not stop preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And they kept telling him, if you'll just agree to just, you know, say this, we'll let you out. And his conscience wouldn't allow him. He had a wife and several kids. And he would not back up one inch of his belief of the gospel. He was in prison 12 years. He wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress, which I don't know if it still is, but at one time, it was the second most sold book in the world. And he wrote it while he was in prison. He was self-educated for the most part. I didn't have a college education. But one of them's on Bunyan and his trials. And he talked about trusting the God who is invisible. God is a spirit. We can't see him, but we know that he's working. And then the next one, I haven't got to this part, William Cowper, the writer of the great hymns of the faith. They put him in an insane asylum at one point in his life. And I don't know all the details that it had to do with anxiety and depression. And this was back in the late 1800s. And then the third one is David Brainerd. And he was the young missionary to the Indians. And I don't think he lived to be 29 years old. But it's a fascinating book. The point is, God does work through our trials and our difficulties. Now, the second point that I brought out is, when you're going through difficulties, rely on God. Trust Him completely. We're frail. That's why we can misunderstand things. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And you'll notice in this psalm, he not only trusted God during this time of great difficulty, but he also prayed. What a great piece of advice. When you're going through trials, go directly to God, who said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We can go to God at any time, with any problem, with any difficulty, because he has bidden us, come boldly to the throne of grace for help in time of need. And certainly that would be every day. Go to God's Word. Make sure that you're in the Bible, in the Word of God, to instruct you during time of difficulty. Now, that brings me to today. Another principle is resolve to fix what you can and leave the rest to God. See, I believe in human responsibility. Now, when I get worried and overwhelmed by circumstances, you know what? I'm a big list guy. All right? I write down everything that's bothering me. that I maybe I'm overwhelmed about yesterday. I got, let's see, preach that meeting. I get word that there was a horrific wreck on the turnpike near Beckley, and that they had it shut down from like 5 in the evening till past 10 at night. Well, I got done preaching it. I told them it was going to be the shortest sermon of the week. I lied to them. I didn't get done preaching until 20 after 8 that night. I preached one of my favorite messages. And I knew that I wasn't going to be going to Beckley that early, so I just thought, well, I'm just going to preach the whole thing. But anyway, I got done preaching, and they said, well, it was backed up 10 miles because they shut both parts of 64 off. So anyway, we wrangled around, and they gave me another route. Now, you know me, all right? I'm not good about directions and really bad when I get in the mountains. And when you get the place where I was staying, the name of the road was Crag Road. That sounds like something from the Flintstones, all right? Crag Road. No Wi-Fi, no internet, no nothing, man. The only time I was connected to the outside world is when we went down into town, and then my phone would start blowing up, you know. I got a text here, a text there, and I couldn't keep up with it all. But anyway, so it wasn't like I was going to get a signal for my GPS until I got to a town. Well, long story short, I finally made it home about 12:30. And it was raining, it was dark, and it was West Virginia. And God was with me. Well, I got home late, and then I got up, and I started getting overwhelmed by everything that I had to catch up on. All the emails, the messages, and so I went to what I normally do when I get worried and I get overwhelmed. I took out a piece of paper and I wrote down a list. Here's what's bothered me. Here's how I can fix it. And then I started working on it. And I just kept going till I got done. And then the thing, you know, Brother Salaka sent me that text yesterday about this issue that has arisen. So that was another thing that was on my mind. And I sorted that thing out while I was mowing. When I mow grass, I can think a lot and meditate. But anyway, it helps me to write things out and deal with the things that I know I can handle. I don't have to ask God to do the laundry. It's on my list. I'll do that. Or to mow the grass. I'll do that. Now, those are small difficulties. You may be dealing with something really big. Well, if there's things that you can do to alleviate your anxiety that you personally can do, then do it. Resolve to fix what you can. But what I want you to understand is we can't allow the things that are out of control, out of our control, take over our minds and our life. I get concerned about my grandkids. I pray about them. I pray about how they're doing in school. I pray about their spiritual welfare. I do the same with my kids. But you know what? I can't do their work for them. All I can do is be the right kind of example, preach the word, be a good papaw, but ultimately, I can't fix. So what I do is I do the best I can in giving them the proper example, and then I start praying. Gavin, you know I pray for you every day. I pray for my grandkids and my kids every single day. Because God can do things with them that I can't. So, but think about this. How often have you worried continuously over something that you have no control over and that you cannot fix? That's when you have to follow 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I urge you to get next to God. Climb up in His lap, spiritually speaking, and just pour out your heart. And whatever it is you're dealing with, go to Him with it. You know, David, if you'll look in this verse, he says this. It was a cry that he made. He says, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors." And notice what he says here. "For they are stronger than I." You realize that he understood that his persecutors were stronger than he was. That he could not take on the problem that they presented, the difficulty that they presented to him. He couldn't take on the whole army of Saul by himself. So he cried out to God. Said, "Lord, I can't handle this. They're stronger than me." And God, he understood God was his refuge. God was his protection. Verse 5, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." So the things that you can't fix, go to God with. Keep going to Him. And in order to do that, you're going to have to learn to keep your mind on the Lord. Because what happens to us when we get into a set of circumstances that are beyond our control and we have to deal with problems that we can't personally fix, they roll around. I don't know how you are, but it happens to me. When I'm really going through something, I'll wake up and not be able to go back to sleep. And what I do is, I just start praying. I start praying, and then I start recalling all my memory verses. I'll go through, I'll say, "Now, what memory verses do I know in the book of Matthew?" And I'll recite them all. Then, if I can make it, I'll go to Mark or Luke. And then I'll go to 1 Corinthians. And I'll start going through books of the Bible until I'm just so mentally tired that I fall back to sleep. But I'm doing it. I'm trying to do it with the Scripture. Instead of constantly worrying about what's troubling me, I replace that with the Word of God. The Bible says this, and I've quoted this, "Whenever someone has ever come to me for any kind of counsel, I urge them to memorize Isaiah 26, verses 2 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Get your mind on the Lord, on His Word, on His instruction. Isaiah 26:10 says, "Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou also hast wrought all our works in us." So when a difficulty comes, resolve to fix what you can and cast all your cares upon God for what you can't fix. person. All right, the next part. Here's where a lot of people fail. When they come to difficult points in their life. Remain steadfast and faithful in service. You know, many people allow difficulties to get them off track in the Christian life. You can't let your circumstances or other people stop you from faithfully serving the Lord. When trouble comes, one of the best things to do is resolve, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to let anything stop me by the grace of God. I mean, think about what David wrote in Psalm 23 and reflect upon it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then later on he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't give up. Keep serving. Even through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember, David said, thou art with me. Resolve to be faithful. I've prayed this so many times that no matter what may come into my life, the people that may rail against me or say things that are against me, I try to just let it roll off. You got to have that as a preacher. Brother Farrell, my pastor, told me early on in the ministry. He said, a pastor has to have the heart of a mother and the hide of an alligator. I've known preachers that are so easily offended through the years. And it really detracts from their ministry. So I've determined a long time ago, I don't get offended by a whole lot of stuff. I don't let things bother me. I've tried to develop a tough hide. But when things get hard, remember the admonition, the command. In 1 Corinthians 15, the end of the resurrection chapter, if you're risen with Christ, remember this. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep on serving. Resolve to be steadfast, unmovable. You see, you have to look at adversity and difficulty as an opportunity to demonstrate your faith and the strength of your testimony. I mean, have any of us gone through what Job did? And yet, what did he say at the height of his sufferings? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In the height of his sufferings, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that I'll see him. How about Daniel? You talk about some difficult circumstances. Sleeping with lions? In a lion's den? Somehow or another, God got him through that. And the next day, when the king came and said, oh, Daniel, he said, I'm right here. The Lord has delivered me from the mouth of the lions. God Almighty has preserved my life. Well, they brought him up. They brought the guys that were accusing him, threw him in there, and all of a sudden the lions got their appetite back. But Daniel in the lion's den. How about the three Hebrews when they wouldn't bow before the idol? And they said, well, listen, if you don't bow, you're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. And you know what their reply was without even thinking? Without any hesitation? We're not careful to answer you concerning this matter. We're going to serve the living and true God. We're not going to bow to your idol. And they threw them in. And the only thing that was, they didn't get burned up. The Lord was with them. It says they saw four men walking. Because I believe the Lord Jesus was with them in the fiery furnace. The early Christians, they went through a lot of trials, afflictions, difficulties. And I'm here to tell you something, folks. You better buckle up in the days ahead. Because I think things are going to get real hostile here in the United States of America and around the world. There is a growing hostility against Christianity. And they're starting to attack them. I'm convinced that a lot of these mass shootings, they are targeted at different times against Christians. So we trust the Lord through it all. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now lastly, when you're dealing with difficulties, do your best to reflect and rejoice in God's blessings on your life. Are you saved? Has God brought you to faith in Jesus Christ? If so, that means that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Someone named Jesus loved you so much he gave his life for you. And he was buried and he rose again for you. And he saved you. He put his spirit within you. He gave you the word of God that you can read, and his spirit will enlighten you and enable you to understand it. Many people, you're blessed to be in a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you're surrounded by people that actually love you, that care about your soul, that pray for you, especially when you're going through difficulties. God's blessed you in many ways. Reflect on that. And rejoice in the blessings. As saved people, we've got a lot to be thankful for. So much to rejoice in. Chosen, redeemed, washed in the blood, indwelt by the Spirit, promised an inheritance that is incomparable. Friends, family, church, a measure of health. The reality is we've probably had a whole lot more good days than bad days. And when you can rejoice in God's grace and provision during times of great difficulty, your testimony will have a great impact, and it'll leave an impression on others. I want to close this message, and I hope that Wanda Pyatt won't be upset if I read this. Years ago, I was friends with Brent and Wanda Pyatt. We served the Lord together at Wilmington Baptist. Brent was called to preach, and I don't know all the circumstances that led to this, but Brent took his own life. And I know I've mentioned that before. And I love Brent. And Wanda posted this on Facebook several years ago. And I think it's worth reading. A lot has happened in the last 14 months, so much that it's hard to comprehend with this finite mind. A quote from a Casting Crowns song. I'm alive, but part of me has died. I'm forced to let go of a huge chunk of my life that I fought long and hard for. Some of my dreams, the wicked one destroyed, but God, in capital letters. Yes, God is still in control. God is amazing and awesome. He has never failed me, and He never will. By the all-sufficient grace of God, I will not let any of this rob my joy. By the grace of God, I'll lift my praises to Him. By the grace of God, I will continue to love and serve Him until the day I die. These last 14 months have been some of the most difficult times of my life. I've tried to be patient and not act in haste and to give up my control over to God and stand back and watch Him work. It's been hard not to try and help Him out. There have been many times when my faith would get weak. It was then I'd say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He's been teaching me what real trust and obedience is. I am still learning every second of every day. He, God, has been my everything. He has been Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He has been my comforter. When I could tell no one else how I felt, He graciously let me say it all to Him. He's real. I have sat on my back porch and spoke with Him as if He was visible. He has let me crawl up on His lap. He has held me, rocked me, and assured me that everything was going to be okay because He, God, is my Abba Father. He is Daddy, and He is going to make it be all right. He is my all in all. There is no other that I can or want to turn to. He is the one and only true God. He has been and is branding His Word upon my heart. I don't know exactly what the future holds for me, my children and grandchildren, but whatever it is, it will be good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. He has been and is my healer. He's healing me from the inside out. I want my focus on Him and the positive, not the negative. He will make this trial a blessing. He is working a work in the lives of me and my children. He has made promises to me through His Word, and God never breaks a promise. He told me, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." Psalm 115:14. I believe Him. And He comforted me with Isaiah 54, verses 4 through 8. Please don't take offense to this. But if any of you have a problem in your life that you need help with, please help. Please get that help. Don't be afraid to seek help because of who you are or what position you hold or because you're ashamed and embarrassed. We all are just flesh and bone. There is none of us who have it all together. Without Him, I am nothing. Don't let your problem destroy you or your family. Do something about it before it's too late. Above all else, bathe yourself in His Word and talk to Him about anything and everything. He already knows what is on your heart, but He longs to share this time with you, you, His child, you whom He shed His precious blood for. No matter what happens, please don't ever stop serving Him. Continue to obey Him and trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him with every fiber of your being. Thank you all for your time, and I love you all. Wanda Pine. That's a powerful statement on God's upholding grace. Let's all stand.